Laureen Gilbert is a financial advisor with and securities and advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor, member FINRA SIPC.
8:01 the time, a Wednesday edition of the Mornings with Ed Show, an absolutely gorgeous day here in Laguna Beach. Welcome to the program today. As we do each and every Wednesday, we are fortunate to speak with the president and CEO, the award-winning president and CEO of Wealthwise Financial Services, Laureen Gilbert, in with us. Good morning, Laureen. How are you today?
Good morning, Ed.
Great to have you on the program today. And thank you very again. If anyone is ever dedicated to a segment, you are dedicated to this one. I'll let our audience know. May I let our audience know where you are right now? Are you there? Oh, that must have been something I said. I think I lost Laureen there. I'll actually do a little dance. Dun 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 dun. Dun, 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 like Johnny Carson used to do when his jokes didn't work. And wait for Laureen to call back. There she is. Was it something I said, Laureen?
I guess so. I don't know what happened.
Yeah, normally.
Sorry about that. Good morning, Ed. Good. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic this morning. As soon as I lost you, I went, well, what did I say this time? What could it have been that I said? Well, I was telling the audience that you are probably as loyal to a segment as anyone I've ever met, and I was wondering if you would let me tell the audience what your specific situation is right now.
Absolutely. There's never a dull moment in my life.
There really isn't.
Sure.
Laureen is sitting on the side of the road with a flat tire right now, and she's made the call. She's waiting on AAA. You are in a safe location, though, so we can have this conversation, right?
I am safe. And safely on the side of the road, and thank goodness for AAA coming out.
Okay, well, fantastic. If the AAA guy gets there during our conversation, you can just go ahead, and we'd love to hear the whole thing. We'd love to listen.
Yeah, I doubt it. Let me tell you, that's the thing about love AAA. It just takes a little time.
So, yeah,
so, yeah, it'll be a while.
Agreed. And that's a perfect segue into this. Something that's taken a little while is the warming up of relations between the United States and China, which the last couple of days seems to have gotten warmer as President Biden and President Xi met. And both our stock markets have seemed to bounce a little bit from that meeting or since 2 days ago. Which stock market benefits the most from the last 2 days? Who needs, right now, who needs the other more economically?
It's a great question, Ed. I do think that when you look at where China is right now, they really are suffering much more than we are economically. So they had the zero COVID policy. They had the issue of their stocks being taken off of exchanges. So they've had, and on top of that, they have the property meltdown that's happened in their country. So with all of that going on, and they're also having struggles in funding COVID testing. So they're having a hard time. So when you look at all of that, I would say that they really do need the outside world in general more than they have probably indicated, and certainly more than they have in the past.
And this gives us more bargaining strength with them?
I think at the end of the day, they need to save face, right? So it's very important in the Asian culture to save face. And so I think that was a lot of what this meeting, they had to both come out on both sides appearing strong and both sides appearing that they had their win. And so I think at the end of the day, that's important for both sides.
Okay, thank you for that. I want to stay on the international grid for a second. In yesterday, a missile struck inside the boundary of Poland, and it appears from the first reports, we won't get the full and complete study until this afternoon, but it appears that a Ukrainian missile defense system shot down a Russian missile, and then both went into Poland and killed a couple of civilians in Poland. Tell us about that crisis or potential crisis and what it could mean.
Yeah, and what it means for the market. So, you know, it's certainly, you know, as soon as I heard it yesterday, it raises everybody's concern. Just the NATO Article 5, which stipulates that an attack against one or more members of NATO would be considered an attack against all of them, and that means it's war, right? So, you know, the alarm went out, and then the market started to react, and then we found out afterwards, thank goodness, it looks like it was due to a Ukrainian missile, not a Russian one, which then, you know, brings down the threat level. But the point that I want to make about this when it comes to the market,
yes,
is I believe we're going to see a lot more defense spending, and the companies that, you know, something as far as investors to be looking at is the importance of those defense contracts and how that could help certain stocks in those areas of defense. So I think that's an area where money is going to be spent because of the geopolitical concerns that are around the world.
Okay, good looking out there. Good looking out for us, Laureen. I want to stay across the ocean for just a second. And Great Britain, we know they've had financial problems, and what we're looking at there is a new wave of austerity that might help restore the government's reputation with financial markets. This is after the budget from the former Prime Minister, Liz Truss, which featured an unorthodox combination of major tax cuts and ramped up borrowing. It unleashed panic over there. Are they looking at a major recession in Great Britain? And if they are, how would that affect us?
Yeah, a couple of things. Let's not forget that they voted on Brexit. And we knew when they voted on Brexit that was ensuring their next recession. And they knew that as they were voting for it, but that's how important it was to the people. On top of that, with global inflation, the UK's inflation rose 11.1% from a year ago, and that is the highest in 41 years. And unlike the US, where we have peaked on inflation, they have not. So they have a very tough road ahead, Ed, and the Bank of England is committed to battling inflation and helping their people. So they're going to do what it takes, but economically, they are suffering much more than we are. And so it's from an investment standpoint, it's not an area that we are interested in.
Right. Okay. I should mention the United Kingdom is one of the two G7 economies to have contracted in the third quarter, and the Bank of England, which you mentioned, is forecasting a recession which could stretch into 2024. So we'll definitely keep our eye on them. I want to bring it back home for a couple of questions, if that's all right. Elon Musk,
sure,
yesterday sent an email to Twitter employees telling them if they wanted to be part of the company, they'll need to be, and I'm putting in quotations here, extremely hardcore. So anyone that doesn't sign a pledge that he attached to that by 2 p.m. tomorrow would receive 3 months severance pay and be asked to leave. If we combine the stuff he's doing there with the employees and the checkmark fiasco that we've just recently read about, could his mismanagement actually kill Twitter? And is there a possibility of Twitter going bankrupt at any point?
Well, you know, I think the fact that he's taken it over, he's committed to doing everything he can to make that company work. As an employer, man, he's tough, right? Between the letter that he wrote to the Tesla employees and now the letter he's written to Twitter employees, I'm like, wow, he's a tough employer, right? He's right. Like, you know, to Tesla, he's like, everybody better get in the office, and Twitter, you know, you better be hardcore. So he is definitely setting the stage. What's interesting about this is he has a young employee base, right? And in both companies, if you've ever been to any of the Tesla, either customer service or sales shops, if you look at any of that, you can see how young their employee base is. And I think that he's kind of like a father figure. You're right. And so I think he's definitely setting the tone and the culture for both of those companies that you better want to work hard. And he's trying to instill a work ethic that maybe doesn't come as naturally, in that generation of employees. So it's interesting to see how it will all turn out. But I know Ed, he's committed to making that company work. So we'll see how he does with that.
Okay.
And now, if he's able to turn it around.
Now, you mentioned that he's kind of a father figure. I see myself, if I was a 25-year-old employee, I would see him more as an unhinged uncle figure than I would a father figure. I would be honest with you there. Can we talk, now that we're moving into the holidays, I do want to talk about retail sales here in the United States. Give us the Walmart-Target dynamic, if you would.
Yeah, so we got great news about Walmart, and that just their earnings were spectacular, and that got the market pretty excited as far as what was going on or what could be going on with other retailers. But then that was contrasted with Target's third quarter results, which missed by a wide margin. And so not only did they miss by a wide margin, but their guidance going forward was bleak. And so with that, I will tell you that we are not favorable as far as the discretionary consumer services side. I think that's an area to be careful in, because I think we're going to hear more things. I mean, we've seen another good, Lowe's expected better than expected top and bottom line results. So, we're seeing mixed results, but I would say in general that discretionary spending area, discretionary consumer, would be an area to be careful in, because we might be in for the consumer who's slowing down. Now, another contrast I'll make, which is really interesting, if you go back to Europe, and on the high-end side, the LVMH with the Louis Vuitton and Hermes, they are witnessing surging sales.
Wow.
Surging sales. So it's this, at the top end of the wealthy who are still spending on luxury goods, like an Hermes bag, which should be like $20,000, Ed.
Right.
People spend on a purse or bag, whatever you want to call it. But and then at the lower end, and Target, people really pulling back on spending.
So you brought up this fascinating point that, yes, they're spending that much money on a $20,000 Hermes bag. But I also read this morning that Walmart itself, the grocery store, is getting that upper echelon of finance of people going in there. Are they budgeting here? Are they being really restrictive on their budget in one area and then spending it all on the luxury goods? Does that make sense?
Well,
they're going to the dollar store on one end, and then they're able to spend all that money on the other end without,
Listen, I was just at the dollar store the other day. I think I've told you this before. I love the dollar store.
I know you do. It tickles me to death that you do.
It's $1.25. Oh, boy. But I love that dollar store. No, I think what you're saying absolutely is true. So here's the thing. People have chosen Walmart over Target. So that luxury goods person that's out spending a lot of money on a bag,
right,
will go to Walmart, but they're not as much necessarily going to Target. So it's where those people, I think that's one of the reasons Walmart's doing well for a lot of reasons. They've really beefed up their online sales. They're doing well with online, and anybody who has a good online presence, that's helped out on the retail sales front. They've been very aggressive in doing that and getting into other spaces. They're trying to expand what they do. For instance, they're big on pharmacy, and how can they increase sales through that pharmacy area of their goods. So, they're doing quite a bit. But I think to what you're saying, I do think there are a lot more people shopping at Walmart than historically would have shopped at Walmart. And I've always said Walmart is an area during the tough times, during recessionary periods, people still shop at Walmart.
Right. Right. Okay. Thank you for that. You mentioned three words to me last week that I tried to put together, and I promised you that I would go home and do homework about it. But I thought, you know what? I'm just going to have you explain it to me. Quadro and unconventional uses. Tell us what we're talking about, please.
So a quadro is a qualified domestic relations order. That's what it stands for, QDRO. Okay. And the typical traditional use of a quadro is when there is a couple that is divorcing. They've been married, they're getting a divorce, and there needs to be an equalization of assets and an equalization of retirement assets specifically. So what a quadro does is outline in a divorce decree that money from one spouse's retirement plan needs to be moved to another, the other spouse's IRA, right? So it's moving qualified assets. So either 401k or any other kind of qualified retirement plan asset into the spouse so that it equalizes their investments, right? It equalizes their overall assets. That is the traditional use. The unconventional use of a quadro is that a married couple can actually use a quadro even when they're not divorcing. So the question is, well, why would somebody do that? So you'll remember there's this thing called RMD, which stands for Required Minimum Distribution. That RMD is required for someone to take when they reach the age currently of 72. So once you're 72, the government makes you start taking money out of your retirement plan. So let's say you have one spouse who's going to be turning age 72, and the other spouse is, let's just say, 10 years younger, that other spouse is 62. Well, one strategy would be to use the quadro, get money out of the 72-year-old's retirement account and put it in the 62-year-old's retirement account so that you don't have to take out RMDs.
That is just beautiful. That's, you know what? That's like a symphony. You just explained it so clearly and so perfectly. That's like a symphony, Laureen. Thank you.
Well, it's a little bit complicated because a quadro has to go before a court. The judge has to sign off on it. But I will tell you, this is something that it's not, there's steps to it, but it's not overly complicated. So what I would say to the listeners is that if you are approaching age of 72 and you have a younger spouse, then let's have a conversation on how this strategy might benefit you and the steps you would need to do to accomplish it.
Thank you. And are there instances where perhaps a judge wouldn't sign off of it on it since they're still married?
Well, you have to basically go to the judge and say there's a reason for doing it.
Right.
And the reason is to equalize assets. You don't need to tell them it's not all about the required minimum distribution, but a judge will be favorable if one spouse has an overabundance of money in their retirement account and the other one doesn't have as much. So pretty much it is expected that the judge would sign off on it. And of course, the attorney would be able to show the reason is to equalize the assets.
I'm going to share with our audience right now that the last 15 minutes are the reason you need to look for a really tight financial planner, someone that absolutely knows what they're doing that can explain this kind of stuff. My goodness, Laureen, thank you so much. Tell us about your Facebook page, please.
Oh, so we have a new Facebook group that we just launched called WealthWise for Women. And we would ask your listeners, your female listeners, to go on to our WealthWise for Women Facebook and ask to join. It is an interactive group where we're going to be interacting with all kinds of great content specifically designed for women investors.
It's so beautiful. All right. Now I'll keep shouting it out to the listeners long after you and I hang up here today. How do they find you otherwise?
WealthwiseFinancial.com or 949-748-1177.
Right. Or you can troll up and down the freeway and look for a car with a flat tire. Laureen, thank you so very much for taking the time to be with us today. Very informative conversation, and we really appreciate you.
Thank you so much, Ed. Have a great week.
Thank you. You as well. Okay. 8:21 the time. It's the Mornings with Ed Show.